KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening, and I'd like to welcome everybody back to our Family Matters show. This is Ruchama Bistritsky-Klatman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC. I started MASC 20 years ago. I can't even believe that it's been 20 years, and over 45,000 families that we have helped, guided, referred in many different ways for mental health issues, school issues, illnesses related to addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, whether they've been molested, a child, a loved one. We're here for you from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can call the MASC helpline at 718-758-0400. Maybe you know somebody, a neighbor, someone you have an shul with that you can give this number to. You can save a life. Be our partner. Let's help families get healthy again. Today, I'm very, very lucky to have on with us a dad. His name is Chaim. Chaim, I wanted to say hello. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
We also have on with us very special person, Shuli Halpert. Shuli Halpert is and has been an unbelievable resource when it comes to school yeshiva placement. He is a businessman that volunteers day and night. Really, I'm not exaggerating. Day and night. We could speak to him early in the morning. We could speak to him late at night. He's always been available, not for MASC, for everyone that we send to him when we work with him and his partner in doing this as a volunteer, both Moshe Rosenthal and Shuli Halpert. I want to say good evening. Welcome to our Family Matters show, Shuli. How are you?
Thank you very much. Good evening. And before I say anything else, I just want to let everybody know that way before I started doing volunteer service, almost 10 years ago, 15 years ago, my wife and I were parents who reached out to MASC for help, and we, Baruch Hashem, got the help that we needed through MASC, and there's no question in my mind that the work that myself and Moshe have been doing for the last 10 years, certainly the seed was sown by me meeting MASC originally.
Thank you, and you should really have much hatzlacha in placing everyone in your personal family. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, before we start our show, I want to let our listeners know about our upcoming Shabbaton. MASC is having a Shabbaton next Shabbos, Achrei Kedoshim, and it is going to be at the Voretsky Yeshiva on Avenue L and Coney. And I must say publicly, especially Ashkoach, to the Landau family for opening the Voretsky Yeshiva and their hall for groups and events for the last several years. So I want to say a special thank you to the Landaus. Our Shabbaton is for parents who either have dealt 15 years ago. Shuli, you're invited. Hope you're joining us, right?
Yes, I hope
and,
to.
Great. And your wife, of course. This Shabbaton is for parents that are struggling with family members that are dealing with mental health issues, addictions as well, molestation, bullying, any issue that you may be dealing with. Not only, we don't just do children. MASC is mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids. Everybody is somebody's kid. Somebody, a mother and a father out there that is dealing with a child. We are there for you. we are having a Shabbaton Friday night. We are going to be benching Licht. Everybody, all the women are welcome to join us at 6:45. We're going to be starting an early Shabbos, 7 o'clock davening. We are so blessed that Sammy Trencher is going to be davening Friday night. We are going to have Rabbi David Goldwasser, who's going to be speaking and giving chizuk to the families. The Shabbaton is for chizuk and smiros and singing only. So Shabbos Day, we are very, very lucky and blessed to have Rivi Schwebel, who will be doing the davening. And then Rabbi David Rapport is going to be staying and having giving chizuk to the families. Shalosh Seudot, we are going to be having Rabbi Chaim David Zwiebel from the Agudas Israel. He will be giving chizuk to the families. And then we have a singing, beautiful Havdalah ceremony. And I would like to say that it is $25 a person for the entire Shabbos registration, and we could not do it without our partner, which is SAFE. SAFE is an addiction outpatient clinic, and without Ike at the helm, making sure that families get the right cutting-edge treatment for their members of their families, let me tell you, it's an amazing program. And we will be having next week, SAFE will be on the air with Mask on Family Matters Show tonight. Next week, Thursday night, 9 to 10. So I'd like to get to the dad, and I'd like to start. Oh, I'm sorry, if anybody wants to come to the Shabbaton, please call the Mask helpline. We have over 120 people that are already registered, 718-758-0400. It may not be for you, but you may know someone that you can give the number to, that they can come either to give chizuk to a family that's there, all the families, or for themselves to sit with other parents struggling, singing, davening. That will give them the chizuk they need, so they can go home and do the right thing and help their family members with good feelings. So let's support these parents. Come and give chizuk if you went through it. I'd like to then go now straight to Chaim. Chaim, how old is your child, and is it a girl or a boy? Would you like to share that with our listeners tonight?
I'm talking about a daughter, a girl who's 22 years old.
And how many children do you have, just so the listeners get a feeling of family dynamic?
Three.
I'm sorry?
Three.
Three children. Okay, and she's 22. So at Mask, we generally go backwards. When parents call, we go back to first to fourth grade. How was your daughter from first to fourth? I'm sorry, first of all, just let us know, where is she today, and then we'll go back to first to fourth grade.
She's right now in drug rehab.
I see. Well, we want to wish her much hatzlacha. You should have real, true nachas from her. She should get healthy inside and out, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Can we go back to first to fourth grade? How was she in first, fourth grade? Tell us a little bit about her.
I'll tell you what I once told the therapist. This was not a happy child. This was an exuberant child. She was a happy, normal, a dream of what a parent could want. To go past fourth grade for a moment, I will tell you that in the Bes Yaakov that she attended, they gave out one award in the graduating class. She's the one that got the Midos Award for the whole school.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm sure she still has those Midos. And Mitzvah Shem, when she comes out of the rehab and goes to sober living and does the work that she needs to do, you will then, I'm sure, get to Mitzvah, see those midos once again, give you nachas. Tell us some more. How was she after fourth grade? Let's go to fourth to sixth grade.
In fourth grade, she was getting bullied in class. We were in touch with the principals and the teachers at all times. The kind of family we have is, we knew, even me as a father traveling around the country, knew every teacher's name, knew every time she had a test, so we were involved in their lives very deeply. So she was getting bullied, and after a while we didn't hear anything about it, so we assumed it was taken care of. About a year and a half ago, in the summer, I went out for her with her for lunch, and she told me that she, do you know that I was swirly? I said, what is a swirly? I don't know what that is. So swirly is where two or three girls or maybe more get together, take the girl's head, put her into the toilet bowl, and flush the toilet so she can't breathe. Actually, what the CIA is not allowed to do waterboarding, that's what they're doing in the schools. I was so shocked. I came home and I asked my older daughter, do you know what a swirly is? I said, yes, the girl's doing it in school all the time. So going back to my daughter that was bullied, I asked her, but I understand, but Mommy and I, we were in school all the time, you know, talking what we had to do, you know, and how can we don't know about this? So she told me that what happened was the principal would come in and yell at a couple of girls what they were doing, and they would double up on a bully or even more. So she learned that the only way for her to get stopped from getting worse was not to say anything, so she didn't say anything, and we thought the problem was solved.
Well, I'm very pained for her, and I'm sorry for all of you that she was bullied, and that she's obviously suffering. Has she spoken to you about it since she's in the rehab? Is that one of the issues that has been addressed as a main focus of why she ended up in rehab?
Well, the way I found out about it, how serious it must be, is because in one of the rehab that she was, they did a lot of work, rehab work, through artwork.
Art therapy.
And once when I was down there, she told me, you know, my artwork is hanging in the therapist's office. Everybody's going to look at it. And I said, no, I don't know. What is it? And I went in, she took me in there. I actually took a picture of it with my phone. And her artwork is the title of it is Toilet Trauma. That's when I realized how basic and how much this affected her the rest of her life.
Absolutely. Wow, that is sad. I mean, how sad. But we do know, Shuli, you work with these families that kids are, whether they're being transferred from one school to the next, or they're being asked to leave the school or kicked out of yeshiva or school. You do deal with kids that have been bullied.
Absolutely. Like Chaim mentioned, it may not come out right away. It may even take, you know, many, many months or years, because different children deal with these type of issues in different ways, depending, of course, on their own makeup, number one. Number two, and this is not a specific to anybody, but number two would be their relationship with their parents, how uncomfortable they feel talking about it to anybody. But I would say, and it is brought out in this specific case, there will always be either a person or a time where it probably will come out. And I guess, you know, the best therapy or the preventive therapy is to look for the telltale signs of what's going on as early as possible. It doesn't always work. It may take a lot of research, and even with all the research, it may not come out. But sometimes it will come out if the child, boy or girl, will be comfortable talking about it with whoever it is they feel comfortable talking to, whether it's a relative, whether it's a friend, whether it's a professional.
Absolutely. There are professionals that specialize in bullying, and there are so many yeshivas that are dealing with this topic now, that are bringing in the most wonderful, well-trained in many different angles to help the families and the principals and the teachers when they have issues with bullying, how to de-escalate the reactions in the youth, how to reduce the risk and aggression with the youth. And the yeshivas are definitely asking MASC and other organizations that are out there to bring in programs. I just recently was by a girls' yeshiva here in Flatbush when a parent said that their daughter was being bullied, and I went to see the school, and I didn't even have to finish the sentence. I said, I'm here to help this family. How could we do it together and collaborate and help it from not happening again in the fourth grade? And the principal said, we're here. Bring us whatever we need to do with this case. We're going to help. So bullying is a very big issue. Chaim, tell us a little bit about your daughter. Since she shared it with you at that lunch, has the road gotten harder for her, or is it been easier?
I didn't hear the last question. I'm sorry.
Has it been easier for her since she got it off her chest, since she's spoken about it with you, or as a result of coming out with that pain and talking about something that probably since fourth grade has been compounded daily, that feeling from the toilet bowl experience being bullied? What happened to her since that 11th grade conversation?
It's a very complex question for her specifically. Obviously, what that did to her in that period of time, her self-esteem was really totally destroyed. And as soon as we found out that there were issues, she started actually cutting. I would say in the ninth grade, we got her for therapy, professional help, and somehow or other, she just got into drugs. Somebody introduced her to drugs, and one of the things she complains about to me till today is, you know, I never knew what drugs are, I never knew what drugs could do, and at that point, the drugs are their own devil. They just take over, and it's very, very difficult to break, and it's a very tough cycle to stop.
What is her drug of choice?
Well, I'll tell you what a solo member once asked me that question. What she's on? I said I don't. The answer probably is what is she not on? They take whatever's available, whatever they can find. And unfortunately, today's day and age, they don't even have to go out and buy it to get delivered to the house, just like you get deliver a pizza delivery or a Chinese takeout.
Right here.
She's
here tonight.
Places on Avenue J and Avenue M, where she's coming out, or she was coming out of meetings, and kids out there, right outside the meeting, were selling it, were giving it away, or even selling it.
Right. Can you talk about, you mentioning meetings? Can you explain to some of our listeners what kind of meetings that she was attending?
She was attending like group meetings of children that were struggling, like her, all kinds. And I would say most of them, quite a few of them that I met, were from really nice families. And my wife and I go to this group meeting, some at MASC, some monthly meetings. We go to other meetings also. And the caliber of the people that I would see over there that come to the meetings that are suffering these type of children just breaks your heart to see it.
Absolutely. It's very, very painful, very painful. But there is support out there, and MASC and many other organizations that are dealing with drugs and alcohol. If, for whatever reason, a parent will call MASC, 718-758-0400, and you can just call anonymous and describe a situation, whether it is bullying, whether it's drugs, or any other issues that you may be dealing with. And MASC is a referral agency with a helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We have support groups. We do in-school programs. We work with the PTAs. We have interns in the yeshivas working with the kids. We do community events. We can help any family get the help that they're looking for. If it's not through MASC, MASC will hold your hand until you do go to, we will refer you to another agency that you can be helped. Chaim, at one point we did refer you to another clinic, correct?
Well, you forgot to mention, Nochama, is that at some point, I think about a year or so ago, you found out my daughter was in the emergency room, and when she came out of the emergency room, you were there together with, I think, Ezzy.
Yes.
And she still talks about it. And she says, this called me, she said, Tati, this lady that I don't know who she is, met me over here and said she'll go on a plane with me right now, leave her family and go to Florida. I mean, you've done that for us too. And
right.
She was refused to hear about rehab at that point, but a couple of days later, because of you, she did agree to go to rehab. So I still owe you, I owe you, thank you for that one.
Okay. It's not only me. You have to thank my staff. We have great people here answering the phones 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to help parents with whatever it is they need. And yes, when I met your daughter coming out of the hospital, I did say to her, let's go now. If you're ready to go now, I will call my family and say, I'm on the way to the airport with a young girl that needs to go inpatient. So, yes, we will do whatever needs to be done. Shuli will also, and his partner, Moshe Rosenthal, would do whatever needs to be done and meets with families. Shuli, can you just share with us if a family calls you and says their son is being kicked out of a school, their daughter is being asked to leave, can you just go through a little bit of what happens?
Well, mostly what usually happens is by word of mouth, my number is out there. And, you know, in every case, it's a little different. Parents call either where they're struggling with a child or where they picked it up a little too late and the child is already out of school. And if it's happening in the middle of the school year, it's, well, I don't want to use the harsh words of a death sentence, but certainly that child will not get into another school of equal value hashkafa-wise. They'll probably have to take a step down. In most cases, it's probably warranted because, as we know, kids are not sent away from school these days for scholastic ability. There is help out there to get them tutors or whatever. That's usually not the issue. The issue is some kind of hashkafa or, as you mentioned before, some kind of mental health or behavior, etc. The parents call me, and the first thing we always do is set up a meeting to meet with the child and at least one of the parents, because to speak off the top of my head, no matter how much information a parent will give, it's not fair to the child and it's not fair to me, because I have to really be able to understand, you know, what's going on in the child's life, and you can only do that when you do it in person. I have, over the last number of years, one of the upsides of technology, I have been in touch either by Skype or FaceTime with children, not only here in the United States and Canada, but in England, in Belgium, in Israel, etc. But even then, I will make it my business to talk to the child and have a one-on-one, you know, interview to be able to figure out what's going on. Sometimes it goes a lot smoother. Some children are very willing to talk to somebody, give an idea of what they're looking for. A lot of them are locked up, and it will take a lot of work to try to get them to be comfortable to speak. Ruchama, I know you've met me many times, and I know I've told this to you many times. I don't wear a white shirt during the week. Not only because I'm a businessman, but it's one of my biggest sellers. When a child in the yeshiva system, both yeshiva and Beis Yaakov, see somebody in a non-white shirt, right away they lose that fear of either chinuch or principal, teacher, supervisor, and they just feel a little bit more comfortable, be able to talk.
Absolutely. I just want to, in case there are new listeners just listening in now, I want to introduce you as Shuli Halpert, who's a businessman and a volunteer school placement. Both him and his partner, Moshe Rosenthal, does school placement for yeshivas. And you can go on now. Just for the new listeners, they should know who you are.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to mention, I have a very big sign in my business office that I took off a secular website that says very simply, every teenager at risk is one listening adult away from coming back to the mainstream. They're just looking for that one voice who they can talk to talk out exactly what's going on in their lives. Now, the process may take a long time, and I've told this to parents for over the years so many times. More often than not, these things take time. You can't count it in days and weeks and months. It takes months and years, depending on how severe the situation is. But the faster that the parents and the people around the child start to comprehend what's bothering them and how they can really help them, it will definitely speed up the process.
Sometimes it does work, and sometimes, like in Chaim's case, it didn't work. The parents really tried with the school, tried everything, and so many years ago, it was different than it is today. Today, the yeshivas have therapists in the schools. They have psychologists in the schools. They have programs for parents, programs for the teens. Just next week, on Monday, Yemet Shem, I will be at a high school with several hundred girls that have a health day, and we bring programs in. So, yes, Shuli, it's very important, like you mentioned, that parents must open their eyes and their ears much more than when Chaim's daughter so many years ago was in fourth grade. Today, things are different. The kids are on the computers, they're Skyping, they're texting. There's a lot of bullying, not only in the classroom, there's bullying on the playground. And this is a very painful topic to talk about because, like you mentioned, it doesn't always show right away. Chaim, in your case, your daughter, from 4th to 11th grade, was she struggling through those years?
She was a star student. It was a student that every teacher dreamed about.
Until what grade?
Probably around till 11th grade.
Uh-huh. And then in 11th grade is when she shared with you. Tell me about you and your wife.
11th grade is the first time she attempted suicide. That was a wake-up call.
And how old was she when she attempted suicide?
11th grade, what was that?
Oh, in the 11th grade. Yes, suicide awareness is prevention is very important that we speak about it in the Frum community. There have been so many deaths, and we want to get help for the families. And we need to be talking and thinking and writing and drawing and handing out information so that we could help families get the help and motivate the families and empower the parents to pick up the phone. Once again, I'm Rochama Bistritsky-Klantman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC, Mothers and Fathers Alliance Saving Kids. And we have Chaim, a dad whose daughter in 11th grade shared that in 4th grade, when she was bullied, that still, in her mind, in her heart, was not, how shall I put it? She was not... I can't even think of the word. It was not resolved in her mind and in her heart. And all through her years, it went with her compounded daily to 11th grade. Before you say goodbye, Chaim, I'd like to ask about you and your wife. I know you called MASC. You go to the MASC groups you mentioned, and you're in, you know, other groups as well. Have you guys gotten stronger, or has this whole machla of drugs and alcohol and suicide ideation and the bullying, has that been putting a wedge between both you and your wife?
For a while it did. It took a lot of hard work for us to get where we are right now, pretty much on the same page. I will tell you that probably a year and a half ago or so, it went with somebody who was called a top-notch therapist, and I think the second or the third session, he tells us, why are you here? What do you mean, why are you here? He tells us, 75% to 80% of the people in your situation get divorced. So why do you here want to do this hard work? So that was like an eye-opener for me, but basically I answered him, you have children? So he said, I'm not supposed to answer you, but I'll tell you yes. I said, you want your children to have a good marriage? He said, yes. So am I. I'm entitled to the same thing. That's why I'm here. It's a hard, hard struggle. 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago, I'm just going to end with this. Shabbos afternoon, our bell was ringing and somebody was banging on the door. We were woken up from a Shabbos nap. I opened the door, there's two cops over there, and we were greeted with the news that, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. Your daughter's in emergency surgery, they don't know if she's going to make it. I sat by her bed for a month in ICU. Baruch Hashem, she came through. So we're struggling a lot, but right now, Baruch Hashem, we're struggling together.
What message would you like to tell parents before you go?
That's a tough question. You go through ups and downs all the time. You try to work on your emun and your betachem, and you try to, you know, have hope. The message probably is, don't turn your back. Just as difficult as it is, as much as you can, just love them more, and as hard as it is sometimes, bite your tongue, and love them even more. I think that's the only way to get them to hold on and to come through this.
Absolutely. Well, we've been there for you at MASC, and we all here, the whole staff, just wants to wish that your daughter gets stronger and stronger, has a complete refuah shlema, and that the parents, you and your wife, who are both so devoted to your children, to this daughter, that you both should have the muna, the betachon, and the strength to give your daughter the strength she needs to come home healthy. And you should have continued nachas from your family, from her. And I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing this very, very painful journey that your family is on. Thank you, Chaim, and my best to your wife.
Amen. Thanks, Rochama. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Rochama, if I could just cut in for a second.
Yes.
Chaim, obviously I don't know who you are, but Rochama has my number, which he's going to give out later. Please feel free at any time if there's anything that I can do to help you in any way, you and your wife and your daughter, please feel free to call me 24/6.
Thank you very much.
Well, I hope Chaim will be at our Shabbaton with Chaim and his wife, and Shuli and his wife. So
yes, okay.
I guess we'll get to meet
I'm probably not going to be here. I think with all this, my daughter's twin just became a chosen in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, great.
I'm going to Eretz Yisrael.
Hardiest mazel tov.
Okay,
you should
you.
Have
so,
some
fun. I registered the Shabbaton, but I'm probably going to miss it. And chaval, but I, you know, this book comes in Simcha in the house also, so we're dealing with that.
Excellent. That's fantastic news, and mazel tov to all of you. Thank you, and refuah shlema for your daughter.
Okay, thanks
thank
very
you,
much,
Chaim.
Thanks.
It takes a lot of courage.
Yes, you're most welcome.
Come on. It takes a lot of courage, Chaim, to come on the show and share with the world your pain. And we all feel your pain, and we're there for you. And
thank
your
you
wife.
Very much. Let's look around. Bye-bye. Okay.
Amen. Shuli,
yes.
So I'd like to speak more about how parents can meet with you and with Moshe Rosenthal, Shuli Halpert. So Shuli's number is 917-692-2702. Moshe Rosenthal, his partner's number is 347-351-1998. I just want to say that people out there, our listeners, these numbers are not to call for drugs and alcohol. These two numbers, these two amazing men that are businessmen and volunteer school placement, their job is for school placement. That's what the numbers are for. But I'm sure that if there's something that they can do, I'm in touch with Shuli all the time. We have cases together all the time. And we work together, both Mask and Shuli. And we can call the Mask helpline, and we can help you, whether get through to him. Lots of times, Shuli, I must say, your voicemail is full, and I got to text you and tell you so. So, parents, you can call us. We'll get to him. We'll make sure he's the right man that you should be speaking to. Shuli, do you want to talk a little bit more about whether it's bullying, whether it's kids getting kicked out for drugs and alcohol? What have been your experience the last several years since you met me coming to Mask as a parent, like you shared earlier in the show? What made you go into it?
Well, to be honest, going back 15 to 18 years ago, when the world was a very different place, and at that time I thought that the street was a terrible place for kids to be, it has gotten so many hundreds of times worse today than it was then, that it's almost hard to believe. You know, people look back and they say, I remember in the 50s and the 60s, and I can easily say, I remember in the late 1990s and the early 2000s, because it has just exploded all over the place, and the street has become just a place where you really don't want your child to look at as an escape for them to feel good about themselves, because they will certainly find a lot of things and a lot of avenues to start feeling good. And people have a misconception, and to me, this is the number one fact about what is going on today. People think these kids who are on the street are enjoying themselves, because they judge it by what they're doing, whether they're smoking or whether they're shooting up or they're doing inappropriate things with girls, etc., etc. These are all outcries for help. It's the only way they see to let society know that we don't belong, and if somebody doesn't help us, we're going to keep doing this until we get the help that we need. It's very hard to pick it up if you're not in the trenches. if you look at it and you look, there's a child out there without a worry in the world, doesn't need to get up in the morning to go to school because they're not in school. So they become what's called a PM-AM kid, where they're sleeping until 3, 4 in the afternoon, and that's when their day starts, and they're going back to sleep at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning. So their whole culture has totally, totally changed. But the real truth is they really don't know any other way to show that they have been damaged in one way or another. We're not looking to place blame on anybody. And, Ruchama, you know this very well, and I've learned it from you, and I feel the same way. My goal in this world is not to bash schools, because
Absolutely.
A, it's not right, and B, it doesn't serve the purpose. We need to help every individual child. I want, on this particular note, just for a moment, I spoke to a very young mother in the last 2 weeks, and I have to say that the mothers and fathers, which is very natural, are getting younger and younger. They're in their early 30s, and they're having 11 and 12 and 13-year-olds that are frustrated and showing many, many different signs of not fitting in. The mother was telling me that she felt this particular child was wronged by the school system, and this child is really struggling. And she was explaining to me how her mission now was to get that school closed down. And I tried to explain to her that that's her Yetzer Hara talking. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want her to help her child, so he's sending her off on another wild goose chase, as if she would have the ability to close down this school. Parents need to understand that no matter what happened, they should put all of their koiches into their child at that time and into nothing else, and try to get as much help as they might need or that they can in order to do this. It's a very, very tough process, because we're always looking for the culprit or the origin, the root of what went wrong with their child. And that doesn't mean that there aren't instances where the school may have made the wrong decision. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but once it happens, all the focus should be on the child and what can we do going forward. Looking back is not going to help. You can certainly learn from the past, but it's most important to look to the to work with the present and look towards the future.
Thank you. That was very well said. Parents usually, first, what we find on the helpline is parents call much later than they should. They should really, when they see a red flag, when they see a difference in a child, when they see something going different in school, different friends, changing dress code, they should pick up the phone, whether it's to MASC or any of the agencies out there, just to call, even anonymous. You can call 718-758-0400, and you can call anonymous and just describe a situation. And we can refer you to whatever agency, whatever therapist, whatever RUV, whatever liaison, whatever inpatient or outpatient drug rehab facilities. We can refer you to therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists. Just call MASC 718-758-0400, and we will help get the help that you need. Shuli, at MASC, you know, I'm sure you remember from 15 years ago that we say if you change the music in your home, your kids' dance steps could change. So whatever has been not working at home, by calling MASC, we can offer some solutions, professional guidance, understanding the trauma, skills for de-escalating the reactions of acting out behaviors, and offering hope to the parents. Shirley, we refer to you all the time, clients. Actually, we just did yesterday another new one. Shirley, can you just describe what does the kid feel like when he comes or she comes to you? I don't want the listeners to think it's just he's. The girls, when I started MASC 20 years ago, was one girl to four boys that are out there that are struggling, that are in pain, that may have got kicked out of school or dropped out of school, that are married and gambling and getting divorced and drugs and alcohol, etc. What if the kid or the young adult comes to you? Why would they go to you? I mean, if they're acting out already, do they all listen to their parents and say, sure, take me to this guy, Shirley Halper? Can you describe what the kids actually feel when first coming to you? Do they share? Do they talk right away? What happens?
So normally what happens is I'm almost always, I wouldn't say 100%, I'm always contacted by parents who are reaching out, depending, again, on the severity of the situation. I have had instances where teenagers have reached out to me saying they've been on the street for a while and a friend of theirs gave them my number. Maybe I can help them get back into the system. But they don't want it to do it through their parents. And then it gets a little sticky sometimes. As a general rule, I will not meet with any children under the age of 18 unless I have parental consent. And on top of that, I need at least one of the parents to come along, at least to start. If it's not a parent, it may be a family friend, a relative, and that's happened very often, especially in cases of divorce, where there's only one active parent handling the situation. Now, the truth is I could go off on so many tangents here. So to try to keep it as general as possible, so the child is coming in, and right away, within the first 5 minutes, I can get an idea of where this child is holding right now, whether they've thrown in the towel, whether they're just looking for a fresh start, whether the problem is so deeply entrenched at home that it's not even a question why something happened in school. And on that note, I can tell you that the cases that I deal with children from either divorces or houses where there's a separation between the father and the mother, these are unfortunately Lebediki Yisoymim. You know, by Yisoymim Loyalenu, it should never happen to anybody, but at least everybody's on the same page. Society, family, friends, everybody makes a circle around these children and is out there to help. When it's divorce or separation, unfortunately, many adults who probably even think they're doing the right thing drive such a wedge between the child and one of the parents, and it causes such damage to these children that when they sit down in the classroom, they feel so isolated from everybody else. And it's just, I would say, the chances of a child dealing with frustration in the school system, if the parents are divorced or separated, and there are extenuating circumstances that makes it more complicated, you're probably driving up by 50% the chance that the child will not be successful in school. So I try to pick up when I'm meeting with the father and the mother, and again, I have to stop for a second. I've said this over the last 10 years, and it has just intensified. There is a problem that we have in our chinuch system, not with the schools, but with our parents, where 9 or 8 out of every 10 case that comes to Moish or I, we are contacted by mothers. For some reason, the fathers have thrown in the towel, and I've repeated this and repeated this, and I've spoken to Rabbonim in the neighborhood and all over the country about this. For some reason, the fathers give up so quickly. the mothers never, ever, ever give up. And but a boy, especially a boy, realizes if he sees his father is disappointed in him, you're taking away such a big chunk of the chance of him being able to resurrect his problems and to come back to the mainstream. If he knows his father is there, even if they don't have the same sprach, even if they're on different religious levels, but if he feels the father cares about him, it makes such a difference, as opposed to a mother comes in and says, my husband is, and I know that the parents are, the fathers are working late and the financial pressures, we all know that, this is not news. But the bottom line is, we just can't give up. A mother has to work many of the times. The mother has to prepare the home. She has other children, but that mother is always there. I don't know in the 10 years if I've ever met a case where a father brought me a child but told me my wife just threw in the towel and she can't deal with this. I'm very curious to hear if you can confirm on this point.
Absolutely. So when I saw MASC 20 years ago, it was Mothers Aligned Saving Kids. And then 3 years later, after learning so much about this issue with the state and the city and government and mental health organizations, we understood that we needed to make it Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. I started MASC out of my living room 20 years ago, and I had 27 mothers show up. And Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, Aleva Shalom, was my mentor, and he was the first speaker at my first event at Rabbi Rosenblatt's shul on Avenue N and East 16th. And that's where we had our first event, and 27 mothers stood up and said, we need help. And we had 152 people there, and Yanki Horowitz was there, and we had Dr. Tursky was there, many, many, many professionals and parents. And yes, it was the mothers. The fathers did not want to show up then. But I must say that in the MASC support groups that we have, Dr. Tricia Tia runs the group, Dr. Bencian Tversky, Sarah Kahan, many of our groups, men always are almost equal, Baruch Hashem today, men are equal in attending groups. So the message is going out there by us and by everyone else saying that it cannot be done just by the mother to the best, because kids need both parents. And when there are divorces, we have groups that we have divorced couples sitting in the same meetings. They learned how to be together for the sake of the child. So yes, it's very important that the fathers come on board. And I do publicly want to thank Chaim for coming on today, a father of a daughter that was struggling and is struggling and needs a refuah shlema. She was bullied, for the listeners that are just coming on, fourth grade bullied, didn't share with her parents that she still, parents helped when it happened, went to the schools, worked with her, worked with the school, worked with the Beis Yaakov, but in 11th grade, she shared how it was not resolved yet. And today, being in a rehab and needing a refuah shlema, very much so, we want to thank Chaim for coming on and wishing their family hatzlacha in this journey and refuah shlema and only nachas. Shuli, I want to also thank you for coming on today, for sharing about, giving MASC this evening an hour of your time was so valuable, being that I know how busy you are. You're a businessman, both you and Mr. Rosenthal, Moshe Rosenthal. Again, I want to give out Shuli's number, 917-692-2702. Mr. Rosenthal's number, 347-351-1998. These are stars in our community. community. They're volunteer businessmen doing yeshiva placement, school placement for kids. You don't have to be on drugs. You don't have to be bullied. If you have a learning disability, just if the kid is not in the right yeshiva, you can call MASC 718-758-0400, and we can help you get the help you need, get to Shuli, get to Mr. Rosenthal, or maybe somebody else that you may need their assistance with. And I just want to mention also how important that when parents find out about their kid or their loved one, their young adult, their little kid, their married child, whatever, first get educated before you approach them, whatever it is that's bothering them. Call MASC. We can get you to other agencies that are out there as well. We'll give you the numbers. We have 35 firm agencies last week on the show from the United Task Force. I'm a board member at Nefesh International, over 700, 800 therapists, from therapists around the world. They were on the show last week. Miriam Turk at the helm. Call, ask a question anonymously, and we at Family Matters, our show every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m., or 718-758-0400. We can try and help whatever it is that you may need help with. Shuli, what would you like to say in closing to our listeners tonight?
I just want to very quickly just run through this, that parents should realize there's different hadracha in different cases. I meet parents who are dealing with a child who's the oldest of 8, Kenayin Hara. I meet parents who have 5 children that are superstars, and number 6 is giving them a problem right in the middle. There are parents who have married off all of the kids and had a child in what we call Ben Zikunin, and that child is now growing up, and they're using their parenting techniques that they used 25 years ago. Every case is different. Every case is complicated. Every case has to be dealt with in its own way, with the personal attention on that particular child. I beg parents all the time, don't compare one of your children to another. It's just puts such an amount of pressure on that child that is struggling. And
thank you. That's very important. Thank you for bringing that up, Shuli. We're going to have to wrap. Did you want to say something before we close and wish everyone a good Shabbos, good Chodesh? What is your last comment for our show this evening, please?
As difficult as the situations are and as bad as the street is getting, there is, Baruch Hashem, help all over. You just have to reach out. You have to pick up the phone. You can call MASC, you can call us for yeshiva placement, you can call other organizations for other types of issues, whether they're mental health, physical health. There is a lot of help out there. Don't be afraid to get help. Don't worry about what your neighbor is going to think or how your daughter or son's resume is going to look because you reached out for help. Those are not the primary reasons why you shouldn't reach out for help. Reach out for help. Unfortunately, this is a machla that's all over the place. There isn't a person in Klal Yisrael today who doesn't have a relative, a friend, or a neighbor that is dealing with these types of issues. If we all work together, the Eibishter will help. We will see nachas from all of these children, Be'ezras Hashem.
Amen, and thank you, Shuli Halpert. Thank you, Moshe Rosenthal. And I want to thank the listeners for listening in. Call MASC 718-758-0400 to find out more information on the MASC Chizuk Shabbaton, co-sponsored by SAFE. Ike Dweck, you're the best. Thank you. Good Shabbos, good Chodesh. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Please become a fan of Talk Line with Zeb Brenner on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and YouTube. On Twitter at Talk Line Network. If you have an Android phone, please download our free app in the Google Store. For iPhones, download the Jewish Radio app. Of course, tune in 24 hours a day at TalkLineCommunications.com or our 24-hour-a-day listen line at 401-347-0304, extension 1, for non-stop Jewish broadcasting.